I have several pages, but I'm going to do an edited, abbreviated of this. And this is something I feel that the Lord's going to have me. And I, in no way is this an arrogant thing, because I don't expect, and I'm not in demand, and I just preach now and then out, and I'm honored any time I can go. But I really feel like that this is something that the Lord is going to have me, amen, share in more than one place. And I've shared it a few times already. Most of the time it's in a deeper setting of teaching, and yet I have preached this, and this is what I feel I want to, amen, again, go to. So if you would go, first of all, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. While you're turning there, I want to say what a great meal we had today. And I have been fed like a king. And the meat, the vegetables, the sweet tea, the dessert, the coffee, it's just all excellent. And I found a post-it note in my suitcase today. And it said something about, remember, I'm supposed to be dieting. Why did I find that post-it note? So I just stuck it back in there. We can find it again when I get home and unload stuff. Praise God. But I've been treated royally. The room's great. The basket of goodies. Trader Joe's. We need Trader Joe's out there. Amen. I took a picture of the basket and sent it to my wife. I took laid stuff out. And I laid it out there. And boy, I snapped pictures of this stuff. Amen. You say, well, I was sharing it with them. I was sharing it with them. See, wasn't that generous of me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's read that out loud together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want to take you now to a passage of Old Testament Scripture that is written for our admonition, and is found in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, chapter 9. We will begin at verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. What I have just read is called Jotham's parable. It's the parable of Jotham. And it's about spiritual leadership. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So tonight I'm talking to us about spiritual leadership. I'm going to be talking about it in the church. Spiritual leadership in the church. I'm going to talk about spiritual leadership in the home. And I'm going to talk about spiritual leadership in you as an individual. So I'm going to talk about it in the church. I'm going to talk about it in your family. I'm going to talk about it as you an individual with the help of God. We need spiritual leadership in us. Amen. And so let's pray and let's ask God, would you pray for me that God would do more than just strengthen my voice, but that God help me to say the most in the short amount of time. Amen. God, touch us tonight. Help us. I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need your anointing. I need you to give me, oh Lord, direction. God, help me not to get bogged down in anything. Help me not to miss what's needful, oh God, and crucial for this service, for this church, for us as individuals. I'm here. I give myself to you, Lord. Again, God, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this pastor. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. The time of the judges is known as the roller coaster period of Israel, because there was times of ascension and heights, and there was times of descending and going down. It was an up and down time. It covered a period of approximately 300 years of Israel's history. And so that's quite a lengthy time. That's more years than the United States is old. And this is just a segment of Israel's history. It's a long time to be up and down and 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 up and down. 300 years of heights and depths and risings and fallings. And thus it was. Many times that period is called the Dark Ages of Israel's history. It's not the glorious time. It has a lot of bleakness and darkness and so forth. The essence of this period of history in Israel, the problem that they had, the root of the problem that they had in this period of history was a lack of leadership. And we need to recognize that. God has ordained leadership for His people. And so, you know, there was no God-ordained man after the death of Joshua, we'll get more into that, to assume that role of leadership. And because of that void, and because, you know, there's this, you know, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, the next book of Judges. And there's these judges that are literally, they're deliverers that God sent. They were more like generals in armies. Because when Israel plummeted in sin because of a lack of leadership, because four times specifically in the book of Judges, it says that in those days there was no king in Israel. That's leadership. Amen. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Because there was no king. There was no one sitting in a place of authority that held a scepter that said this is the way it's going to be. And when there's the lack of that, the human nature is in time, however much time. Our nature is to gravitate to the baser nature of our flesh. And we begin to justify, and we begin to excuse, and we get slothful, and we get lax, and we backslide. We get lukewarm. Amen. Children that don't have parents to help them toe the line. They just naturally, amen, more times than not, they don't become better kids. They become wayward children. They've got to have a voice to give them direction in their life. There's got to be leadership in a church. Amen. When there's a lack of leadership, amen, a church grows cold. We may be here in body, but our spirits have wandered here and there. And so their sins, their disobedience plummeted them. And so the cycle was they sinned. And that took them into servitude. Because God let nations come and oppress them to give them a spanking. Yes, sir. And then it gave servants.
when God intended for them to be the head and not the tail. It's in the book. And then when they had the feel of that, they began to make supplication to the Lord and pray and cry, "Oh God, forgive us. We're here because of our undoings, our own doings. Have mercy, Lord." And God heard their cry. He wants to deliver. He wants to save. He wants people to rise and elevate and have a victorious life. And so He'd send them a deliverer and salvation would come. And then they'd have to rest in peace for a while and the judge would die. And they would revert to their old ways. And sin would take them back into servitude. And they'd fall to the bottom. And servitude would start making them supplicate. And supplication was heard. And God sent a Savior. A judge. Amen. And so this was a cycle. Repeated. Over and over and over again. People are still repeating that cycle. Sin will always take you down. It'll always put you in bondage. It promises liberty, but it can't give you real liberty. Amen. The wages of sin is still death. You yield your members to unrighteousness, you'll become mastered by unrighteousness. And I pray that when that happens, you'll pray and call upon God. And God, who is merciful, not willing any to perish, He'll send help your way. Back in right standing with God. Okay, I'm okay now. You better keep listening to the preached word. You better keep praying. You better keep reading that Bible. You better keep going to the house of God. Because if you don't, you can't stay spiritual. And we need spiritual leadership in our lives. And so this was a cycle, and judges arose and brought deliverance to God's people. And Gideon was such a man. In Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, we won't go there, but he's threshing wheat over by the wine press. What a place. You know, that's where you tread grapes over here. But he's threshing wheat, you know, and doing works in odd locations so that he can't be caught. Because, you see, for 7 years, the Midianites, every time that Israel's ready to harvest their crops, amen, they tend to them, they water, they prune, they care for. When it's harvest time, lo and behold, here's the Midianites coming from the hillsides. And they're running down there, and they steal all the harvest. Ha, 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 and take back off. And here they are, empty-handed, all this labor for naught. And that happened 2 years, 3 years, four, five, and six, and seven. Man. And he's over there, and all of a sudden the Lord sends a messenger. Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. You know the story. Who, me? And through a series, amen, God uses Gideon with 300 men. With a lamp and a trumpet. Can't, you know, and set in three companies and you follow me. And man, they broke lamps. They held the lamps up high. Amen. They blasted the trumpet and God did a great work through Gideon. And the Midianites, amen, stronghold was broken. And for the next 40 years, Israel had peace. They were thankful for what Gideon had done. In fact, so thankful, the men of Israel came to Gideon and said, "Gideon, we want you to rule over us. And we want your sons to rule over us. And we want your sons' sons to rule over us." And Gideon said, "No, I'm not going to rule over you. Neither my sons, nor my sons' sons. The Lord shall rule over you." That's what he said. Now, there's well-meaning intent, I think, in here. And I do believe that he had a right feeling of wanting God to rule over God's people. We want the Lord to rule over us. But kids still need parents. And a church still needs a pastor. And every one of us still need the Holy Ghost working in our lives. It's not just enough, I got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost needs to have me. Because a lot of people have received the Holy Ghost, but over time, the Holy Ghost still doesn't have them. Amen. And so, though it sounded good, I want the Lord to rule over you. For him to say, I'm not going to, my sons aren't, nor my son's sons. What really just happened there, man, take my coat off. The hotter I get, sometimes I lose my voice. If I lose my voice here, brother, I'm just going to hand the mic to you and you finish it. Is that Gideon provided Israel deliverance, but he failed to provide them direction. He got them delivered from oppression. But when they said, would you rule over us? We need direction. We need somebody to point the way. Gideon failed to give them direction. Now, I know God directs us, but God still uses men. Yes, His Spirit works. Yes, His Word works. But God still uses people. I'll say it again. Kids need parents. That's people. Your child may have the Holy Ghost, but you need parental authority in your life. Saints, you have the Holy Ghost, but you need a man of God in your life. You need a fivefold ministry. It perfects the saints. Praise God. God loves us and He wants us saved. And so he died. Gideon died. He died. He left quite a legacy. The Bible says, amen, that he left a legacy of many wives and many sons. He had 70 sons by his wives. And we're not here to argue how many wives can you have. Everything that's recorded in the book isn't everything that God says. You ought to go try that. But he had 70 sons by 70 wives. In Judges 8:30 it says that Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And another son by a concubine. The next verse says in 8:31, and his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. And I'm here to let you know that his name signifies my father, a king. That's important. Now Gideon, the next verse says, the son of Joash, he died at a good old age. And then the next verse said that as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. How quickly a judge dies and people go right back. I have pastored long enough, and I know you have too. I started pastoring when I was your age, Brandon, 25. God bless that congregation. Amen. But I tell you, we've pastored long enough that when people allowed us to be a voice in our lives, we saw them make progress. But when my voice became dead to their ears, even though I wasn't in the grave, I was as good as dead to them. God knows what they became. Nothing of a credit to me as a personal individual. It's a principle in the Word of God. Amen. And so they went a horn after Balaam. As soon as he's dead, he was the one who kept them close to worshiping God. Amen. I've had people that have left me and said, I want to thank you for the standards you taught, and I want to assure you, we're going to keep living that. We're just not coming here anymore. And there was no need to argue with them. There was no need for me to say, we'll wait and see. I know that time has a way of revealing. I've seen those that had dresses down to here and no slits. All of a sudden they're up to here and slits up above. Styles and actions that they said they would ever keep. Why?
Because you can do that over there.
There's no voice to say that's not acceptable here. That's not the spirit of godliness. That's not, amen, pleasing to the Lord. Praise God. And so the Bible tells us in the next verse, and let me push myself here. It says that the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. Amen. That's why they fell right back. They remember not the Lord. God help me not to forget. God help me to remember. We sang that yesterday, didn't we? Amen. But they forgot. They did not remember the Lord. Amen. And the next verse says, and neither show they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal. And that was the other name of Gideon. Gideon, who is also named Jerubbaal. Because when you forget God, all of a sudden, the man of God and his family is not as honorable as they used to be. Amen. Amen. When people honor God, they'll honor the man of God. Amen. Because I know the valleys you walk me through and pray with me. Amen. You helped my kids. You helped our marriage. Amen. We thank God for you. But when you begin to forget God, it's amazing how all of a sudden you disconnect and you forget the prayers they prayed. You forget the sacrifice they made. You just forget the house of Gideon. Amen. How many preachers' wives have been forgotten because the preacher's dead and gone. It's a shame. And it's because of her example in prayer many times that there's people serving God today. It shows you the tendency, because forgetfulness and ingratitude and disrespect, that'll go hand in hand. And so, anyway, Gideon's dead. That means there's an empty place. There's a void. That becomes a ripe setting for opportunists. And this is where Abimelech, the son of the concubine, sees his opportunity. Now, you need to understand here a few things. Amen. Abimelech is a half-brother to all these other sons. But the truth is, there's a lot in those 70s that they're half-brothers, because they don't have the same mother. The difference is that although 70 boys, though they're half-brothers, many of them, every one of their mothers are bona fide wives. Abimelech is a half-brother who's got the same dad, but his mother is not a wife. She's a concubine. Sam L. kind of wondering, how's this? This is not a typical Sunday night, is it? Right now. But we had good church a while ago. But this is the book. And I'm talking about spiritual leadership. And we need to walk in the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. Amen. We want to keep what we have in this house. We want to keep what's here right now. Praise God. We don't want this to escape us. We do not want to let this slip through our grasp because of stinking thinking. And that, oh God, help us tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so here is Abimelech. Amen. He's the son of a former great leader, Gideon. But he's got ambition. And we don't know it yet, but in chapters like we realize, he is unskilled in leadership, but he wants leadership. He lacks anointing. Amen. But to him, that's not that necessary. And so it opens up in chapter 9 where we read our text. But yet at verse 1, it opens up that this Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, which I remind you is Gideon, he went to his mama's hometown, which is Shechem. So he goes to his mother's side of the family. He's not going to go to Gideon's side. Amen. He's going to go to his mother's side. Amen. It's amazing when motives are involved, you know who to go talk to. You can find those that you feel will sympathize and support your position and support your cause. Amen. And so Abimelech, amen, he heads to Shechem. And what does he do? He communes with his mother's brethren and with all the family of the house of his mother's father. And he says in verse 2, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem. So he can tell he's got a strategy. He's got a motive. I want you to go and whisper and talk in all the men's ears in town. And I want you to ask them this question. Whither is it better for you? Either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, 70, is it better for them to reign over you, or that just one reign over you? And oh, by the way, remember also that I'm bone of your bone and I'm flesh of your flesh. Now, there's no indication that any one of Gideon's sons of the 70 had any desire to take their father's place when he died. They must have had the same sentiment as their father. Not his sons, nor our son's sons. But let's let God lead us. We need to pray. We need to, but Abimelech is through whispering and insinuations, he is suggesting that there's 70 guys that wants to keep y'all under their thumb. Now, is it better for those guys or would you rather just one person be over you? And oh, by the way, I'm from, this is my hometown. We're kin folks. Hi, cuz. How you doing? Hey, uncle, auntie, or aunt, as I say. And so it's amazing how, because blood's thick. And so he talks to them. He insinuates that they want it so he can pave the way to his own pretensions. They become convinced of that. And the Bible tells us, as you read through there, that the men of Shechem came up with 70 pieces of silver. Just happened to be the same number of your 70 half-brothers. It wasn't coincidence. They gave him money and he went and hired a killer for every brother. He found mercenaries. He gave them the money and said, let's meet on yonder rock. I will gather my brothers there. And when we do line them up, you're paid to follow one. You're paid to kill another one. I'm paying you to kill. And when it's all done, I'll be the king. A man is a fool to execute the brotherhood so he can establish a position for himself. I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking about spiritual leadership. I'm also showing a lot right now, carnal, earthly, self-centered causes. And so they gather there. Amen. Amen. And in chapter 9, verse 5, he went up to his father's house at Ophron, slew his brother, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons. Upon one stone they got there. Amen. Execution style. But in all the action, all the activity, amen, I got one, I kill this before they're hitting, swinging and doing and all this. The youngest one, Jotham. Maybe because he's small. Maybe because he's the youngest and wiry and he escaped. He got away. Now they got done. They said, we got them all. I got mine. I got mine. And they thought they got all of them. In fact, the Bible talks like they got all of them. But we know the truth is Jotham ran away. He escaped. The men of Shechem, they get Abimelech and they start yelling, Abimelech's the king! Abimelech's the king! You know how word gets back. Somebody took the word to Jotham. And Jotham said, they're saying what? And I started reading in my text right here where, amen, Jotham, amen, he went out. When they told it to Jotham in verse 7, he went and he stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and he lifted up his voice and he cried, hearken to me, ye men of Shechem. Now that's a brave young boy. He just knows every one of his brothers has been killed. The only reason he's not dead is he escaped. This is almost like turning yourself in. But he stands up and he says, listen, I got something I want to tell y'all. And he tells this parable. And this parable about the olive tree and the fig tree and the vine and the bramble is a parable on leadership. And the moral of the story is simply this. All it takes for the wrong man to take the position is for the right man to fail to take his place. When the right man will not take his place, you open up for wrong leadership to step in. And so he told him. He said there was the trees went and they asked the olive tree, come and rule over us. And the olive tree said, should I leave my fattens? Should I leave my fatness whereby they honor God and man and go to be promoted of the trees? I wanna picture here tonight, if you can use your imagination. Let's imagine a triangle right now. Everybody here know what a triangle is? Let's you do too. Let's envision between these pillars there's the base. And then let's go from the base of each. The angle's going up right up to the peak. That's the high point. I want you to see four levels of leadership. At the top, inside that triangle, I want you to, in your mind, write olive tree. I'm going to draw a line under that. And then let's put fig tree. And then draw a line under that. And put vine. And under that, down at the bottom, let's put bramble. Because it's four levels of leadership. They went to the top and said, olive tree. Now an olive tree, what do you get from an olive tree? Olive oil. It very clearly would speak to us tonight of anointing. At that leadership, somebody say spiritual. We need the unction of the Holy Ghost. We need the oil of the Spirit in our lives. God didn't give us the Holy Ghost to not realize the power that's in the Holy Ghost. The authority that's in the Holy Ghost. It's not of us, it's His Spirit. Praise God. And that's the leadership God would have everything else to be subservient to. But the olive tree said, I will not go to be promoted over the other trees. So the second choice was, went to the fig tree. The fig represents fruit, fruition. If I can say gifts and talents. Instead of spiritual, the fig is intellectual. Somebody say intellectual. Thank God for talents. Thank God for gifts. I do not have the knowledge to play the keyboard. You've got to have some knowledge of keys and chords. It involves intellect. Thank God for intellect. God wants us to have sanctified brains. Somebody said, get an education, then get over it. Because you can get the big head. Knowledge puffs up, Paul said to the Corinthians. You can get a superior feeling and attitude. Why? Because I've been to school. I've taken the course. I made the grade. You didn't. Knowledge is power. But figs represents, amen, the ability of men. Amen. Amen. It's not spiritual, but just the fig tree leadership. Men can lead people on gifts and talents. Can be fantastic managers and administrators. Why? Because they have, amen, gifts from God to administrate, to plan, to lead people, to build a team. But just because you have that ability, that doesn't mean the olive tree is ruling. The fig tree said, well, should I leave my sweetness? You know, the olive tree was enjoying his own anointing. It's a horrible thing when men use their anointing for an excuse not to be involved. The fig tree says, no, I enjoy playing my little keys, singing my little songs. Thank God that these musicians have their talents subservient to the anointing. God wants to use our gifts and talents. God wants to use our gifts and talents. But our gifts and talents by ourselves will not do the spiritual work that needs to be done. The fig tree said no, and so they went to the vine. What's the vine? The vine produces juices that enliven. Drink of the cup. And so the vine tonight, ladies and gentlemen, represents charisma and personality. And there are a lot of people that lead on sheer personality. I like him. I like her. Oh, they're fun to be around. And they may not have an ounce of anointing. They may not even be gifted and talented and can't do all that, but they have a way of lighting up people's lives. Amen. God bless you. How you doing, my friend? Oh, good to see you. And there's people that follow that. And it's nothing but personality. It's nothing but dispositions that you're attracted to. The charisma of people to hold a crowd. Now every time when the olive tree said no, I want to draw now a triangle that the peak is less. Because the olive tree said no. And so the height is diminished in leadership. The fig tree said no. The triangle has a broad base, but it's shorter in height. It's just here. Because every time there's a rejection of ordained leadership, the triangle becomes lower and lower and lower. And the vine said, why should I leave? Oh man, I enjoy getting together with my little cluster. Man, we just have a time in my little gang. And that's where cliques can form. And that's where, you know, small circles, just, you know, and you can exclude people. Because, well, we're in the know, and this is our party. And come on. So the vine said, why should I leave that? They'd rather be the life of a party, though it's a small attended party, than get lost in the crowd and somebody else get the limelight. You know, some people won't be in a parade unless they're leading it. They fail sometimes to see just the joy of being in the parade, but somebody else is the marshal. Somebody else has a prettier float. Somebody else is getting the credit. Somebody else gets to sing tonight. But I'm just glad to be a part of what's going on in the house. And so, no. And so they come to the bramble. Now this could be a long lesson because there's a lot to teach in this. But I'm giving you an abbreviated, but I think there's enough in here for us. I hope there's enough meat here. And so they came to the bramble. And said, you know, bramble, we're needing a leader. Would you become our leader? Now, a bramble isn't anointed. A bramble doesn't even have to have gifts and talents. A bramble don't even have a good personality. But he's good at starting fires. Any of y'all ever seen tumbleweeds? I know they have. Yeah, man. You know, there's just something about. And so the bramble says, you really, you want me? Wow, I'm so humble that you ask. But I tell you what, if you want me by my leader, here's what y'all got to do. Olive tree, you've got to bow under my shadow. Fig tree, come and live under my shadow. Vine, under my shadow. And y'all ever think about getting out of my shadow? I'm going to burn you. There'll be a fire come out of the bramble. And you'll wish you'd never crossed me. This is in the book. That might not have been your morning devotion this morning, but it's in your evening lesson. And Jotham tells them this. They can read and understand this parable. And he goes on and says, past our reading, he said, if of a truth, if your motives were right, and you're honoring God, and you honor my father who fought far for you. He reminds them of what his dead dad had done for them. They had 40 years of peace. They've so soon forgotten what he brought into their life. For their kids and now grandkids. If it's the truth that you did this, and it was God's will for you to be the leader, then I say, okay, so be it. But if it's not, men of Shechem. And what he gave is a parable now. He speaks the curse of Jotham. He said, may there be a division between you men and Abimelech. And may the fire come out of you to him and him to you. And y'all consume each other. And he was through preaching. He turned around and he fled. Amen. And sometimes after you deliver a message, you feel like you might not know how to tell it. But God, I delivered the message. Is this okay? Let me talk about the church right now. Thank God for the pastor. I want you to know, amen, this man is not reading this by church from any indication I see from a bramble spirit. He's not trying to do it just on his personality and make you like him. And we want you to like him. You need to like him. He's not here trying to do a spiritual leading on his ability as a businessman and conduct. And this man has some experience and good wisdom about that. This man knows that I've got to have the Holy Ghost to lead this church. I need the oil flowing. I need the Holy Ghost. Hook me up, God. Fill me with the Spirit. Lord, we can't have church without the Holy Ghost. You know I'm right. Amen. Thank God for all this that's submitted to the Holy Tree. Thank God for anointed leadership. But I'll say, and I'll say it kindly, and I'll say it shortly. Amen. Not dwelling on it. There are churches today that the olive tree is checked out. And they're having church, but it's talents and gifts. Singing and music and productions and performance. And the church is growing. But I'm here to tell you by the book. You can't grow a church on talents and gifts void of the Holy Ghost. And there are those that don't have a lot of gifts and talents. But man, they are personable. They got a smile as wide as Texas. And arms shaking as long as California. Amen. Personality plus. You'd think there's politicians. They know how to kiss your babies. They know how to make you feel like $1 million. And this church has been so blessed because you walked in. You don't know. And oh, they just, somebody finally loves me. And the personality just sweeps you off their feet. I want to be a kind man. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. But I know many times, when I look at the Old Testament prophets, God didn't always use kind men that was interested in just making people happy with them. God didn't call this pastor to make you happy. He didn't call him to entertain us. He called him here to preach his truth. And point his finger at us. And say, lay aside your sins and your weights. You better pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for his nature. Amen. Sometimes people think because the pastor is all of a sudden being pretty strong, he's using that old nature of his. Amen. As long as it's submitted to the Holy Ghost, what else has God got to use? But who I am, I have a nature. I have a personality. I am who I am. But under the Holy Ghost, God will use that. But I've seen people try to lead churches on personality. And I've seen people, amen, reduced down, and the preacher was so backslid, the people still honored him because he was their, quote, man of God. And he was leading with bramble leadership. Because a bramble intimidates. A bramble can whip you into complying. You better do what I said or I'll burn you. I'm telling you. That's not spiritual leadership. Thank God for your pastor and his wife. You better thank God for them, church. And say, God, baptize with the Holy Ghost. Give them fresh oil. God, we need that kind of spiritual leadership. Now let's talk about families. Let's talk about dads. Let's talk about moms. Because the Bible, biblically, men, you are the heads of your wife. Biblically. All right? I'm not here to fuss with you because of what the Bible says. And I believe the Bible. That doesn't mean that you're an inferior partner, that you're a walking mat and all that. But you got to remember, there's leadership in your home. And if you try to retwist God's word and redefine who's going to be leader in this house, you're going to have to take that up with God. Now, fellas, when children come into the home, mom is not one of the kids. You and her are parental authority in those children's lives. You can't treat her like your child. She's your wife. She's not the head of the house. But there's got to be leadership. And this church needs families. Moms and dads that pray. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Want the olive tree in their homes. There's moms and dads that don't pray, but man, they got gifts and talents and hobbies and they do stuff with their kids. And thank God for parents that do things with their kids. I'm not against that. But it's no substitute for the spiritual side of family relationships. And their kids, they just love their dad because he's forevermore taking them hunting. And hunting doesn't have to become a sin. And fishing doesn't have to become a sin. And mama takes daughter shopping, and shopping doesn't have to become a sin. But all these things can become idols that you just can't do without. You're so devoted to them. And there's kids that have memories galore of mom doing stuff with them and dad doing stuff, but they don't really remember a lot of spiritual times together. I want to encourage you, dads and moms, don't be the only one to get out in the aisle and pray and shout. Sometimes you need to go get your son and your daughter. So come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last Sunday night, we were having church. I praise the Holy Ghost was moving powerfully. Amen. My wife, it's really, I was exhorting. I hadn't gotten to preaching. And my wife come off the keyboard. She, all of a sudden, I see her walk on the platform. And I turn. She puts her hand out. I don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that I need to take her hand. I took her hand and we danced together across the bar, across the platform before the people, before God. Amen. I wanted the church. She wanted the church. I didn't say, what are you doing? Get back to your place. No, no, no. Thank God. I want my Michael to dance with David. Hallelujah. I want, amen, the church to know we're in this together. Dads, we just don't need mamas praying. We need dads praying. Mamas, we just don't need dad being spiritual. We need you to submit and have a good spirit. Amen. And serve God and let the oil flow. Hallelujah. There's liberty here, but there's also a little tension. So it comes down to the vine, personality. Amen. There's nothing wrong with personality, but how many of you know that our personality needs to fall in line with a new creature? And there are moms that are wanting to be big sisters to their daughters. And there's fathers that are would rather be a big brother to their sons. And dad, you're not your son's big brother. And mom, you're not your daughter's big sister. Because if they see you as the big sister and the big brother, amen, your authority in their lives has diminished. And so, you can even lead your family in Bramble leadership. You can whip them into compliance. If you don't do what I said, you'll wish you had. No anointing, no talents, no personality. Just, if you don't, I'll burn you up. I'll knock you in the middle of next week. You understand? I'll rip your head off and spit down your neck. Pour salt in it. Boy, he's mean, isn't he? No, I wouldn't do that. But you know what? You can be Bramble leadership where your kids are scared to death of you. God didn't intend for your babies to be afraid of you. Your daughters shouldn't be afraid of daddies. Come on now. I'm just bringing you some word here tonight. Amen. It's not spiritual to be yelling at each other in your homes. Yes, sir. That's not the Holy Ghost screaming at each other.
Oh, that's right.
That's fire from Bramble spirit nature. And you can whip them down and beat them down and be the boss. And you can harden their heart. And they'll never want to know your God. I apologize, but I don't apologize. I hope I'm okay here tonight. Because, amen, what God is doing in His church is precious. There is an anointing. There is a future. Hallelujah. And we need to be wise and understanding and doing the will of God. God, touch our families. Let's pray for our families right now. Come on, let's pray for us as dads and moms, children and parents. Amen. Oh God, I want the oil to flow in my home. Jesus, Jesus. May everything we are, everything we do, come under ship, under your lordship, under your blessing, oh God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And praise God. And so let me take it to the third aspect. I told you I was going to talk about the church and leadership, our families. Let's talk about individuals. Who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Is it going to be the olive tree? Are you going to have a heart inclined to the ways of God? Are you going to have an ear that says, speak, my Lord. I will hear. I thought early in the service, and it comes to my mind right now, so I'll drop it in. In Genesis 22, when God spoke to Abram and said, Abram, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, God knew that there was an Ishmael, but Ishmael don't count. He's the son of the bondwoman. I want the son of the free. Take that only son. When he said, Abram said, here I am. You can read it in your own Bible. He said, here I am. When they ascended the hill and he was drawn back with a knife, and the Lord stayed his hand and he looked in the thicket and there was a ram. Amen. Abram's word then, same three words, but rearranged. He said, here am I. He first said, here I am. Spot location. Geography. Here I am. But when he went through the test, he said, here come on. It's a surrendered will. It's a trust in God. I'll do what you call me to do. And God said, I knew you would pass the test. I knew you would put my will over your will. Oh, Abraham, I'm calling you into greater leadership. I'm going to bless you. The stars, the sand. Amen. Oh, how many wants to be blessed of God here tonight? And so, God gives the Holy Ghost. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? This means they're led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Thank God. I'm telling you, when you got the Holy Ghost, things just got higher. The sky's the limit. How high in God do you want? How much of Him do you really hunger for? Because I want to remind you that just because you got the Holy Ghost, that's not automatically put you into a continual relationship of obeying the Lord. You have your own being, your gifts, your talents. You know, I could make money doing what I'm doing. Somebody could hire me. I'd rather be on a payroll doing this. You can be beckoned. You could begin to go on the strength of your talents instead of in the strength of the Holy Ghost. It's just not in music. It's in other aspects of life. You know, I can... My nickname's Midas. I can turn things into gold that I touch. And you know, I could sure make a lot more money if I could just relocate. I'm getting a job opportunity. It requires a move and relocation. I'm not saying that's always wrong. On the same token, if you move just to let your performance expand, fruit of your hands, and you move out of the will of God, you say, well, that church, they really don't preach and pray like the one I've been in. But you know, I'm gonna keep praying, Pastor. I'm gonna keep. You really need to be careful. You really need to spend a lot of time in the presence of God. Because what does it profit if you gain the whole world? More than all this world to me. Amen. You could come to church, and there are people that are still coming to church because of well, I still get to sing, I still get to be in the choir, I get to still teach, I get to be busy. They like my tech. I'm a geek. They like my ability to put things together and they need me. They need my talents, and the church does need your talents. You ought to give the talents you have to God. You ought to dedicate them to the Lord. But there's some people who come just because they're still doing this or personality. I got a lot of friends there. But the Holy Ghost, the olive tree has been dismissed a long time ago. And in all of us, there's still that old nature. It's a bramble nature. And the base remains the same, but the level of the leadership. I need this old man nature to be submitted to that new nature. I need my personality. I want people to like me. But that's not the focus. I want Him to like me. I want to hear Him say, well done. If nobody ever compliments me, if I never get a thank you, if I don't get the credit, and I did it for you, Lord. Oh, God. Submit it all. Trees, please come under the shadow of the olive. Not my will, thy will be done. That's spiritual leadership. You need it in your life. You need it in your home. We need it in the church. I don't know when we never need it. We always need it. Praise God. Would you stand together with me right now? Let's walk in the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. We need to really examine ourselves and see tonight. Oh, I must let God, amen, lead me, guide me, help me, show me. Pastor God, let's follow what the plan of God has done. It's time to pray. There's dads and moms here. You need to dedicate so your kids can have a chance of going to heaven. It's not time to play games. It's time to get serious. It's time, amen, to say, not my will. Hallelujah. You realize you can't do anything without the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no good thing in your flesh. It's bramble. It's bramble. There's no good thing in our flesh. Oh, Jesus. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are.
I'm not going to preach anymore, but I want to encourage you all to read the rest of that chapter and get the rest of the story. Because when Jotham ran away for fear of Abimelech, his brother, Abimelech reigned 3 years. In verse 23, it says, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. That was his cohorts, his support group. Now God sends an evil spirit between them. And now there's another man, Gael, that rises up, and he tells the men of Shechem, if I was your leader, not Abimelech. And so now Abimelech's getting done to him. And read the rest of the story and see, because there was bows cut out of tree by Abimelech and men. They took them to a tower where people were hiding. And they set it on fire. He's a bramble. And 1,000 men and women died in that tower because they were against him, and he burned them up. And then he goes by another tower, and a woman drops a stone on his head and hits him. And he's about to die, and he asks somebody, would you come and wipe me off and take me out? I don't want to be said. I died at the hands of a woman. I'm telling you, there's leadership that God is for. And there's leadership that God is not for. I don't care if it looks like it's growing and big and blowing and going. We cannot improve on God's ways. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's stand and worship Him, can we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's everybody. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like to sing in just a bit. I want to sing. Sister Jen, do you know I surrender all? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Church, in the 11 years this month that we have been here, I don't know that there has been a more prescient, important message that has been preached. Oh, that we could get this. So that in our church, it would be right. So that in our homes, it would be right. So that in our spirit, our own personal spirit, it would be right. That the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be acceptable. Would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Could we sing, surrender to him? To Jesus.
together. Hallelujah. Lift your